Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I think this is the only show where, Danny, you have more waifu pillows than we have listeners, man.
Well, yeah, I just don't have enough fleshlights to spread amongst them, so it's kind of annoying to have to, like, rotate.
Pulling them out of different pillows and moving them?
Yes. It kind of kills the mood sometimes, unless I'm, like, prepared. Mm.
Do you take your body pillows out on, like, a date and everything?
Nah, man. I'm not that creepy. I do put them in the carpool lane, though, and they pat count as two people.
Officer, I have, like, six gorgeous babes in my car. Like, what do you mean I am in the wrong lane?
Exactly.
You're just jealous you can't get this.
Don't judge me. And stop chasing me.
Don't tase me, bro.
Yeah, apparently there was a guy on that show Life PD that got brought in, and they did all the sobriety tests on him, and they brought him in anyways just because he was acting weird, and his car was full of waifu pillows. They asked him, it's like, where are you going? He's like, to a party? He's like, where's that party? He's like, I don't know, wherever I end up.
Your waifu looks like she's six. Well, that's the joke on you. She's really a 3,000-year-old dragon.
I'm not a pedophile. She's 8,000 years old. She's seen more than you and me. which begs the question, like, the vampire in, what the hell is the name of that stupid vampire book and movie? Ones where they sparkle?
What, where he was Twilight, like, series?
Yeah, Twilight. Because he was, like, thousands of years, it's like reverse, like, pedophilia. Because he was, like, 5,000 years old, but still hung out with, like, and tried to bang, like, 16-year-olds?
Yeah, he probably just, like, kills them once they turn 30, and then, like, he still looks like he's a teenager, so he just moves somewhere else.
30? What are you talking about? Like, 18 or 19? That's too old, man.
True.
Have you ever read, like, incels writing about, like, women like that?
No.
Oh, dude, it is the worst. Like they'll write things talking about how, like the prime time for a female body is between, like, 15 and, like, 17, and when they get in their, like, 20s, they're starting to get used up because of all the men they're with, and when they're 30s, they're just, like, their vaginas are just, like, flappy and gross because of all the men they've had sex with.
Yet they haven't had sex with one single woman person.
Yes. Well, but, I mean, it's not their fault. That's why they're involuntary.
That's true. That is true. I'm mistaken.
If that chick was out there banging them instead of all those Chads.
Fucking Chads.
So, before we started recording, you had an epiphany, Sean.
I did?
That people actually listen to the show. and they approached me with, like, constructive criticism.
I just figured we didn't have enough people to outnumber the amount of waifus that you have in your closet.
I'm not saying we don't have more listeners than waifus. I'm just saying that there exist. But, you know, I was actually thinking about this today, like, because one of the guys I work with asked the name of my podcast because he finally downloaded a podcast app on his phone. And whenever people say, oh, yeah, I listen to your podcast, my first reaction is to apologize to them.
I'm sorry you listen to it.
Like, not even thank you, but it's just like, man, I'm sorry.
So I could listen to this podcast at work, or I could listen to nothing. Yeah, I'll just listen to nothing. I mean, I think the sounds of the conveyor system are just beautiful.
The sounds of myself gently weeping.
My soul dying inside. It's a great sound.
I can just hear myself dying.
Did they ask you why we talk about Avenger dildos a lot?
No, I haven't gotten that one. That person. But we should make sure to make a reference to that every episode.
If we were real professionals, we would audit our, you know, previous 100 episodes and maybe tell people which ones to listen to instead of just, listen to the show and let me know what you think. You know, trying to at least stack the deck a little bit.
with the Thanos fist and the Black Widow fleshlight and the
the Hulk,
the Hulk smasher. Oh man, dude! Apparently, our yard workers are deciding that now is a good time to record, because I know you said you have mowers and I got air blowers out there just blowing stuff around instead of they just mow it and they just blow it back in the grass and job's done, right?
Exactly. You know, the issue is out here, it's like it's been changing temperatures. Like one, we'll have like a day at 80 degrees and then the next 3 days, 4 days, it'll rain and be like around 40 to 50 degrees. And of course, guess what happens? Today it's sunny, so I gotta get my lawn mowed, or else like my lawn is gonna be a bitch to mow next week, because that's how my life is. You know, adult responsibilities.
That was your first mistake buying a house.
I know. It's all right though.
I'll get through it. It's weird because the weather's the same out here. Like today's supposed to be 90, and then there's like it's supposed to rain on Thursday. So.
I was gonna say, seriously though, like where? I mean, I guess California is now all about that rain now, right?
Right. I guess we're never gonna have summer until like October, and then it'll be 400 degrees. So, Sean, I took a page out of your book today.
You decided to not do any homework or research and just come to the show unprepared?
Well, I mean, but besides that, I'm drinking a sour, Sean.
Oh, what sour are you drinking?
It's from Almanac Beer Company, based in Alameda County, Alameda, California. It's a barrel-aged blackberry supernova.
Supernova.
It's tart, refreshing, and made with real fruit. And it's made with malt from Admiral Maltings.
Admiral Maltings, wow.
Yes, he's been promoted. But so he's the captain of the SS Malty Boy.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they're also like, did you ever see the company Lovesack?
Yes, I did. They had a store at the Galleria Mall, Tyler Mall, whatever it's called these days.
Yes. And there were a few around, like, because whenever someone says, oh, the Lovesack, it's like, it's a beanbag. But then if you read all their propaganda, it was like, it's not a damn beanbag.
It's not a beanbag. It's a love seat.
It's got styrofoam in it or instead of beans. But anyways, apparently they're taking that same kind of stance here, because in big bold letters it says, this is not a kettle sour. This naturally conditioned mixed culture sour ale was aged for months. I don't know, is it 2 months or 12 months?
Months.
With real fruit in oak barrels, creating a delightfully tart and refreshing brew that's brewed with real blackberries. And it's touting its farm to barrel, so it's quite delicious, actually. You can really get the smell and the taste of the blackberries. It's not like I'm going to get heartburn later, you know, cloyingly sweet. It's kind of subtle, but it definitely has that sourness to it, I mean.
Yeah. No, that's pretty interesting, because I know there are different ways to sour your beer. And so, you know, good on them for, you know, trying to tell the audience how exactly they're going to sour their beer.
Right, I know for a while kettle souring, because it's an easier process, was looked down upon by a lot of the OG sour brewers.
Well, the problem
but
is
now
is
a lot
not,
of them are kind
yeah.
of like.
Well, that's the problem is like you introduce a wild yeast into your brewing equipment, it screws over everything. Like there's not a lot of fancy breweries like that Orange County one that created two different locations just for souring and non-souring.
The brewery?
I didn't say. I just said some brewery in Orange County.
The brewery in Orange County?
Hint, hint.
It's not
nudge.
Brewery. It's the brewery.
The. So, I don't know. I mean, I get it. I think it makes it a little bit easier, and there's a lot of recipes now for homebrewers to do kettle souring. And I've been kind of looking at it as I'm looking at getting back into brewing, starting to do some sours because I think sours are awesome. I think the kettle brew is mostly like it's you put a grain into your the certain grain that goes into your wort and you boil it and it helps give some of that sour taste without having to go through and add a bunch of crazy yeast to your brew collection, so that way you basically contaminate your stuff.
Right, like it's like a zombie plague. You know, you kind of get one little thing infested and it just keeps spreading and it takes forever to get it out.
Yep. I mean, I'm to the point where if I do a sour, I think what I'm going to do is get like a special like tap thing. So I'll have to like open up my keyser to pour my beer out instead of trying to run it through the tap lines, just so that way it kind of helps keep it away. No, don't share the
lines.
It's like
you don't want to give your main girl herpes, so you'll just go around and sleep condomless with other chicks and give them the herpes. Your side girl.
I don't know if that's how it works. I don't know if that's the right analogy, but it's an analogy.
I didn't say it was a good one. I just said it was one. It may not have been an apt analogy, but it was an analogy nonetheless.
Danny, I'm going away from the sours this week. So while I was at Joseph's Beer Market, conveniently located in Toledo, right across from the Toledo Mall, I found the Worldwide Stout from Dogfish Head. I guess this is like is only brewed like once a year. I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Oh, have you heard about it?
Yes. I haven't tried it. I just heard of it. I'm aware of the beer, and I've heard of it.
So this is a stout, and it cost me $9 for a 12-ounce bottle. It is 16% alcohol by volume. And the description says, a very dark beer brewed with a ridiculous amount of barley. And it smells pretty good. It doesn't smell like a strong like beer or anything like that.
No, is it barrel aged then? I mean, if it's 16%, it's got to be oak aged in something.
It doesn't say that it's aged in anything, but yeah, it's you could tell it's 16%.
It's all that barley.
Yeah, it just tastes like a very clean, smooth stout. They didn't add a lot. It doesn't have like a body like you would expect. It doesn't have like a creaminess taste to it. You just have to imagine like basically it's like a watered down stout with a lot of alcohol in it is basically the best way I could describe it, if that makes any sense to you.
Right. I mean, that's the way, like, I guess in the olden days of craft beer, that's how the stouts were before they started adding all the adjuncts, and then they wanted it to come out like used motor oil. Because there's one brewery that makes a beer called Old Viscosity.
Uh-huh.
And that was, like, renowned for being, like, one of the densest stouts. And then I one relatively recently, like, a couple years ago, within the last couple years, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't any denser than, like, stuff from Bottle Logic or something like that. So I guess the stout game has changed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure. But to me, like, I feel like I would want it to be thicker. Like, this is one of those, like, you know, that's the only reason why I like stouts and porters is, like, and I guess maybe this is just my opinion on it. Like, this is, like, to me, that's like a one-time beer. That's like a one beer. You know, you just want something flavorful, like, that hits the notes well, you know, it warms you up on a cold day. You're just looking at having that, like, one relaxing beer. Like, that's what a stout and a porter is to me.
Right. Like almost a dessert beer.
Yeah.
If it's got the...
Yeah, you're not looking at pounding a bunch of stout.
No, you're not. Not anymore, at least. Maybe when you're young and dumb and didn't know anything about craft beer. And by you, I mean me. And by probably, I mean definitely.
I need every stout and porter in this bar, please.
Exactly. You mean the one, Guinness? And it's actually appropriate that you are, in fact, drinking a Dogfish Head, because there was news coming from Dogfish Head Brewery. They've decided to merge with the Boston Beer Company, Sean.
It's a mixed feeling kind of thing, because, you know, they talk about merging together to build a better defense, so away from, like, InBev and stuff, but, like, they reference, like, Goose Island as being bought out. Like, that happened, like, so long ago. And
right, that was the one that starts the trend.
Yeah, and
pretty much.
I just don't really know. I mean, I read the article, and, you know, it gave the politically appropriate, like, wording on, you know, merging, building a defense against InBev and stuff, and combining resources. But to be honest, I just don't think, like, Boston Brewery is, like, anything special. So it's kind of disappointing that Dogfish Head, you know, merged with them, because I believe that Dogfish Head is getting kind of the one that's bought out, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, but here's the thing, like, you know, for the Craft Beer Association guidelines, so that you can get the little, like, upside down bottle on your label that says certified independent. The joke that I've heard multiple sources say is that the amount of beer that you can produce is one, you know, their maximum that you could produce to still be considered independent craft is one more than what Boston Beer produces.
Yeah.
One more barrel than Boston Beer produces. Cause I mean, he's, you know, it's been a long time, but he was basically like the guy that started the craft beer thing. Like, he was the guy fighting for everybody to get started. And then other breweries got bigger, and they kind of, all the kids forgot about this old man, and they kind of kicked him to the curb.
Yeah.
Shut up, old man. You know, And he even got, like, kind of feisty talking about how he wasn't going to want to do IPAs. He kind of felt that IPAs was a trend that they didn't want to jump on.
Yeah, that was wrong. So,
right. And so I think there's people were saying that that's kind of the thing behind this merger, is that Dogfish Head has quite a few variants of IPAs. You know, they have their standard ones, and then they have, like, the 60-minute, the 120-minute.
Yeah.
And so Sam Adams, basically the Boston Beer Company, will finally have an IPA under their umbrella, or multiple at least. And then Dogfish Head will be able to get the benefits of having the Boston Beer Company's distribution network.
Yeah, I mean, it's bittersweet. I mean, I think it was really unexpected, but it'll be interesting to see how things go. I mean, I guess I haven't even looked. I don't even care about the Boston Brewery, and I don't. Are they? Do they rock the independent beer logo?
Yes, because that's like, he's like one of the guys on. He was on. I don't know if he still is, but he was on the board for a long time, and he's basically fighting to keep it that way. And so, in 2018, it says the Boston Beer Company was the second largest craft beer company.
Yeah.
By sales volume, and Dogfish Head was 13th.
Yeah. Who's number one? Is it New Belgium?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, I didn't realize they were that massive, but I mean, it totally makes sense.
Yeah, because Fat Tire's everywhere.
Yeah,
like, that's up there with Sam Adams. Those are probably like the two highest selling craft beers. You can get them pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think even nowadays, you see, I think you could, even all the way out in California, you could see multiple, lots of different beers now from Boston and from New Belgium.
Right. They're definitely not flooding the market, but they're definitely readily available. And you don't always have to go to, like, the craft beer stores. You can go to, you know, any grocery store and have a wide selection of either of their beers.
Yeah.
So, Sean, our dreams have been crushed of a field trip. We don't get to go spend the night in a fancy hotel together, Sean.
Oh, really? What happened?
I wanted to go hang out at the Brew Dog Hotel with you, Sean.
Oh boy, whatever happens at the Brew Dog Hotel stays at the Brew Dog Hotel.
Exactly. Especially if you're too drunk to remember, you just get like, give me a keg of your fanciest and highest ABV beer. We don't want to remember things.
Exactly.
So, I was browsing Reddit, and one of my favorite subreddits is the Choosing Beggars, where people will try to, like, get, like, a commission from an artist done for free or dirt cheap, and then when the person, when the artist is like, wait, I need to make money, too, and they're like, how hard is it to just draw? Like, just draw and give it to me. And it's like, you know, no, this is how I make my living. And they're like, well, fuck you, your drawings suck anyways. I hope you die. You've been blocked.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't think those people understand how blocking is supposed to work. So it came up that it just said a large brewery commissions works or sets fake interviews to solicit marketing ideas and then steals them. And the owner of the brewery doesn't understand why people are unhappy about it. So there's this long, like, thread, and basically, like, they would set up, like, as part of the interview process for the job. It's like, all right, let's say hypothetically you got this job. What are three ways that you would market this beer or this thing? And they would do the proposals and like, all right, thank you very much. We'll let you know. And then never get the job, but then their ideas come to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty sad to hear, like, you know, a brewery is, like, you know, taking people and stealing ideas just to use.
Right, and it's not like it's, like, a small brewery. Not that that would necessarily excuse it, but at least it would make it, I guess, understandable that they don't know how business works or they can't afford to pay their people things. But they're a relatively large brewery. I mean, they're based in Europe and they have a hotel in Ohio. Which, I guess, I don't know why they would put it in Ohio, but...
I don't know either. Isn't it, like, over there in Cleveland area?
Yes.
So maybe it's
yes,
not... It is. Yeah, so there's a big population over there. It's not too bad.
I mean, I guess it's... If it's big enough for the NFL Hall of Fame, it's big enough for the BrewDog Hotel.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the dog pound, so why not have BrewDog there?
Exactly. Hey, that actually works. They could do maybe tie in some marketing. I don't know. Maybe unless one of those job interview people didn't come up with that idea. Maybe if they listen to our podcast, they'll steal it.
So we need to get waifu pillows.
Actually, I was at an anime convention with somebody, and they had that idea of buying a bunch of waifu pillows and then putting the fleshlights in there and then standing outside the convention and selling them for like $70 a piece. Yeah.
Exactly. I know. I mean, so I would definitely say, like, you need to be real careful about BrewDog. I mean, it seems like it comes up, like, you know, they're definitely, like, ripping things off. And, you know, it's just really sad to see something like that, happen.
Right. I mean, there's other breweries that are shady in their own way, and you should avoid them, like Founders and their racism origins, or other companies that claim to be barrel aging beers and just actually dumping the alcohol in the final brew stage instead of, like, using the barrels because it's cheaper and easier, I guess.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, like, they're all over Ohio, and I was looking forward to trying some of their beer, but no more. No mas.
Yeah, there's a brewery at,
Bastards.
In Ohio that I didn't go buy any of their beers because I have too much and I need to drink it down. But next time they get some, I'm going to have to try it. It's called Jackie O's.
Ooh, I think that's up in Michigan.
Except it's in Ohio.
Oh, is it? I can't remember. There's another, like, Jackie something up in...
Jack me off.
I don't think it goes that far.
No. That's a little... lowbrow to some people.
Yeah. So anyways, what about your Jackie O's?
Oh no, that's one that I want to try. Like, and I was going to ask, is that something else that's a pretty fountain? Is that something you see out there?
I'd have to look. I don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
I don't know off the top of my head.
It's in Athens, Ohio, is where their public house is.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, so, that's way far away. That's not even close. Although, yeah, that is a nice area, though.
Right, but you might have, I mean, if you find a BrewDog everywhere, why not find Jackie O's? It's supposedly a better beer. They don't rip people off. We haven't had multiple stories on this podcast about how they're shady and sucky.
Fair enough. I'll have to keep an eye out for it.
So we have a breaking news today, Sean.
Do 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 do. You know, this is our cheap side effects noises.
Exactly. DIY, man. We're like the OG punk rockers. Just make it ourselves. So Disney officially bought out the last 30% of Hulu.
Another company is owned by the big mouse.
Right. I mean, well, they already own 70%, so it wasn't like too much is going to change. But I guess the rumor – I don't know how much of it's rumors or how much of it's been confirmed, but it'll fit in with their plan to put all the kids' stuff on the Disney streaming service and all the more adult-type stuff on the Hulu streaming service. So people who are paranoid about, like, Disney – stopping Deadpool from being rated R, and if they make any more movies, that'll be a Hulu movie, not a Disney streaming service movie.
Yeah, and the nice thing is I already have Hulu, so cha-ching. I think the biggest question is going to be, Danny, you know, as they start this other service, like, as me as a Hulu customer, am I going to have access to both items, or am I going to have to pay, like, some more money to have both streaming? And am I gonna have to pay like am I gonna get like a discount for buying both of them, or, you know, that's what really I think in the article it doesn't really say, and we're still like in the early stages, but I think that's really what's on people's minds right now about it.
Right. Well, the nice thing about the Disney streaming service on itself is it's $7 a month, or you can buy the full year for $70 and basically buy 10 months, get 2 free.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Right. But it'll be interesting to see how it works out. And, like, so they have an exclusive contract with NBC, actually.
Okay.
That's why there's a lot of the NBC shows you can watch, like, pretty much a day or two after they're aired on Hulu.
Okay. Nice.
With this deal, they can pull the shows off of there if they so choose.
Mm. Interesting. I wonder if Disney's going to cut out all the waifus on the anime side. Snip, snip. No more Danny waifus.
PlayStation's doing that already, so I can't imagine everybody else not doing it too.
We need a hero. Here comes Pornhub. You know, right. Everything that's not censored.
Well, that was a big push for people to get Pornhub to buy... I had it, then I lost it. The one company that got rid of porn that was similar to Reddit, but not Reddit.
I don't remember. I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember. It's not Pinterest. It's not Pinterest.
No, that was just for the ladies. But it was like Hulu, but like,
damn it,
creepy. It was like Reddit, but creepy. I mean, but anyways, yeah, there was a big drive to get them to buy for Pornhub to buy that to bring all the porn back.
Oh man, nope. They're just trying to keep their market in a very small niche of the air in the world's internet.
Yes. So, speaking of streaming services, Sean, you partook in some Netflix?
I did. I did partake in some Netflix. So, kind of bored, kind of watching, looking for TV, and we found a hour-long documentary. It was called The Perfect Bid. And it's about this guy that really loves The Price is Right. It's very interesting because, like, you know, Bob Barker's on there. There's an interview. It was the weird part was what's the new guy? Drew Carey?
Yeah. Cleveland Rocks, Ohio, according to him.
Yeah. So he was in it, but he wasn't in it. Like, basically, it was almost like they took like a podcast that Drew was in that was filmed, and they just edited it in to make it fit the questions that they were answering. But basically what happened, though, is there's this guy named Theodore who watched it all along, and he's a mathematician that teaches – you know, he teaches middle school now, but, you know, he would watch it every day, and he figured out, you know, that they would put the same items onto the show, and basically, you know, he's a mathematician, he was able to build a, you know, when I say a dock, I mean the old school computers. He built the Price is Right game so he would able to practice. So he would drive down from Sacramento every couple of weeks to go into the audience to get on the show. And he would yell out, like, the prizes, and, like, Bob Barker would kind of, like, acknowledged him. And it was, like, a very entertaining show with Bob Barker, the producer, and then this guy, the Theodore, who would go up there. Like, it's just very funny because he would, like, yell out the price and people wouldn't listen to what he said. And then the audience would, like, boo the person because he didn't listen.
So no, wait, when you say acknowledge, like, would Bob Barker wave at him, just kind of give, like, a subtle, like, knowing nod? Or would he, like, just flip him the double birds?
At first, it was kind of, like, it was, like, a nod and kind of funny. And then, like, I think, like, the producers told Bob, like, while on the air not to notice him. But, like, in the episodes, and this is early 90s, right? So, this right. is, like, we're talking about 92 and whatnot. Well before Bob retired. And so you could hear, like, Theodore, like, yelling the prices and stuff. And it goes into where, you know, at some point, he finally gets on the show, right? And then he gets knocked out. He does well where he needs to, and he wins like $1,000 because he's doing this punch out thing. And he, on the first one, he won $1,000, and he knows the odds of getting something better isn't good. So, you know, he keeps it, the crowd boos at him, and he basically shows, like, he knows what he's talking about, because the rest of the money he wins is, like, $100, $250, and then, like, $10. So he did the right thing by winning $1,000. And so
I wonder if they set it up so it's like, oh shit, this guy finally made it. let's give him the game that's the one where, like, there's no chance of counting cards. Like, yeah. It's all just luck, dumb luck.
Yep, it's all, yeah. So they gave, for the grand prize, they gave, that was the one he had to do. So there's a rule on The Price is Right where if you win, you can never go on the show again. Well, after a while, they changed it to where if it had been 10 years, you could go back on the show. So now, you know, it's the 2000, it's well into the 2000s. And so he starts going back, and so basically, at some point they go over Bob Barker's retirement. The following year, the producer, he was a producer on the show for 26 years, and it was kind of like a forced retirement. And they kind of touch about it, but they kind of keep it like, hey, it's not the point of the show, and they kind of keep it, you know, high level. And then he goes on the show, and he's helping, and so he's doing the same thing where he's telling people, and basically, so Theodore realizes the guy that he's helping is at the final area, and he goes, all right, well, we don't want to bring too much attention to ourselves, so he gives him a price to use. And so, like, the price isn't supposed to be exact, it's supposed to be a little bit off, so people don't, like, so it doesn't cause any alarms. Well, the guy changes the last three numbers and ends up nailing the three prizes on the dot. And the show basically goes to commercial, and it's off the air for 15 minutes because they're off the recorded because they're trying to – they assume that that they're cheating. And that was, like – that's the part where it kind of, like, the documentary kind of gets, like, not very good is it – it's an hour-long show, and it seemed like the cheating scandal that came out from it was only, like, the last 10 minutes, and it felt very forced. And the fact that they didn't even get Drew on the show to do, like, a real-life talk, and there was no producers from the new show that would talk about the scandal or anything. Like, it really felt really one-sided, and it felt like they were kind of, like, villains, you know? And right. It ruined the rest. It left us a sour taste in your mouth because, you know, you're laughing. The show is responding well to Theodore. You know, Bob Barker's making jokes. You're having a really good time watching this documentary. And then the last 10 minutes are forced. It's to the point, and then it just abruptly ends, and it kind of ruins it. And so, like, overall, I would say it was a pretty fun watch to see how somebody basically figured out the formula. And I guess, like, they changed. They have now rules on the different prizes they bring up. They rotate stuff more, so that way you can't have this happen. It's like you can't count the cards anymore from a gambling standpoint. So it was on Netflix. It's a pretty entertaining watch. It's only an hour, but like I said, it was definitely pretty entertaining the first 50 minutes. But you'll know what I mean when you see the ending and kind of how it leaves a sour taste in your mouth.
Right, and that's the one thing that's a problem with documentaries is, you know, it's always kind of skewed, even if the person necessarily isn't trying to, but they're definitely making that for a reason. There's something that drew them to this project that gave them the passion to want to sit down and have these interviews. You know, they're not just doing it out of, like, you know, a feeling of, like, blah. You know what I'm saying? They're not like, oh, wow, this seems mildly interesting. I would like to learn more. It's either, you know, generally it's a more thing of somebody got screwed and I'm going to find a way to right this wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So.
So, That's I mean, it sounds entertaining, but I mean, it's only an hour at least, because there's a lot of the Netflix documentaries lately where they're like 6 hour and a half long episodes.
Yeah, they're like hour long episodes, 6 episodes. There's a lot of like repeating. Yeah, no, I totally know what you mean.
Yeah, there's that one. I mean, I want to watch it, but I don't because of how long it is. But that one where the dude basically like took over a city in the Northwest. Like, he moved in and started, like, had a religion, and then he would, like, bus people in to vote.
Yeah.
And they would get, like, people from their group voted into power, and they would just basically own the town.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's pretty ridiculous.
Yes. It's not as ridiculous, though, Sean, as the movie, one of the movies that I watched.
Which movie?
I watched Lego Movie 2, Sean.
Is everything awesome still?
No, even the song changes. At one point, the song is Everything's Not Awesome. Like, you know how in the first movie there was the twist, right?
Yes.
Very M. Night Shyamalan-esque twist.
Yes.
Kind of like The Sixth Sense. I'm going to use The Sixth Sense and the Lego movie as this analogy, Sean. So basically, it would be like if after M. Night Shyamalan made his second movie, I mean, everyone was already kind of looking for the twist anyways.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't actually watching the movie, they're just watching for the twist. But instead of him, like, having the twist be subtle, it would be like if they would have, like, the like playing an RPG where the items that you can pick up are glowing. Because they do a lot more transferring back and forth between the real world and the quote-unquote Lego world.
Yeah.
And how the first movie was about not being a dick dad and sharing with your kid.
Yeah.
So this movie is like, the dad's like, you know, still Will Ferrell, but he's not really even in the movie. Like, it's just his voice.
Yeah.
Like, he's in it for a quick second.
Oh, wow.
But basically, he's like, yeah, well, now that you're down here playing, you know who else is going to want to play? And the kid's like, who? And he's like, your, and they do a slow motion like that. Your sister. So his sister, who's probably, like, 5 years younger than him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, they're showing there's, like, the Lego world with all the characters, and then these alien Duplos come in and, like, start destroying everything. And then they, like, fast forward, like, 5 years.
Oh, jeez. That's
crazy. They stole from Endgame.
Yeah, they did.
And so basically, in this one, the threat is, they're getting to be put in from Armageddon.
Yeah.
And getting put into the box of storage. And so basically it's like the threat is like if they don't get along and play nice, the mom's going to make them put their toys away.
Mm, got you. And that's where and everything's so, all sad and everything yeah. is not so awesome.
Yeah.
Well, interesting.
They're actually in the Lego movie, there's time travel.
Well, they are Legos, so, I mean, I guess it's acceptable.
Yes, And they actually, it's actually wrapped up cleaner than it is in the Avengers movie, so they'll give him some credit.
Fair enough.
You're not confused by the storyline. You're not confused by, like, the timeline now. So wait, did, if this happened, then did that happen? So,
what?
I don't know, man. It's definitely worth how much I paid for it, because I just got it through the Netflix DVD service. So I was already paid for it anyways.
Oh, jeez. Fair enough. But at least you have that going for you.
Yes. And then I went to go to theaters, and I was able to get into for free, thanks to my wife's job, to see Detective Pikachu. So I know you didn't see Detective Pikachu, the movie, but you did see the quote-unquote movie that Ryan Reynolds streamed, leaked onto YouTube like 2 days before
it released. Mean, it was nice that Ryan Reynolds was such a nice guy and, you know, put the movie on YouTube for free.
Right, and it's funny because, like, the opening scene is actually a scene in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yes, and then it changes. Like, we're not going to spoil anything, because just go look Detective Pikachu leaked movie. It's an hour and 45 minutes of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Everything is awesome with that. But did you play Pokemon, Sean, when you were younger?
I did play the Pokemons.
The Pokemon?
The Pocket Man.
The Pocket Man?
Pocket Monsters.
See, I think I played like a couple hours of Pokemon's either Black or White.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, like, the extent of my knowledge of the world. I mean, I know, like, the characters, at least the main ones. So having said that, like, walking into this movie not really caring about the lore of the Pikachus.
Yes.
This movie was entertaining.
Okay.
It's like a, you know, definitely, it's almost like a crime drama buddy cop thing.
Yeah.
With Ryan Reynolds and some random guy.
Some kid.
Yes, when they do have the Pokemons appear, like, they look really good, and there's, like, so many of them. Like, I don't know how they're able to fit that many of them on the screen,
well,
of varying ones.
The nice thing is, you know, they don't have to, like, pay money for actors to be in there. It's just literally like, hey, here's the Pokemon added in, and they just, you know, CGI that.
Right, but CGI effects aren't cheap, especially ones that look as good as they do in the movie. Like, it, you know, like, when you watch Who Framed Roger Rabbit, you can tell what was animated and who was people.
Yeah.
It's there's no real distinction like that. It looks, everything looks like it's people in this movie.
That makes sense. I mean, but they had to. They didn't have a choice. I mean, they knew what they were getting themselves into when they made a Pokemon movie. They had to have the Pokemon in there.
Right. And there's, you know, some decent actors. Bill Nighy is in it. He's like one of the big main name they got. He's in Pirates of the Caribbean and a bunch of other British things.
Okay.
Older man. But there's some one-liners, of course, from Ryan Reynolds trying to, like, I guess, keep a little edgy.
Yeah.
Like, there's a part where the kid's, like, talking to this reporter that's about his age he's attracted to, and she's like, you know, gonna go do something, and he's like, I'll go with you, and he's like, no. You know, she says something about spending nights alone, and he's like, no, I'm pretty good at, I pretty much perfected spending nights alone.
That's pretty funny.
So, yeah, we went to go see it on the Mother's Day, and it felt weird because we were, like, the only people in there without kids. It wasn't subtle at all. And the theater was probably only, like, 20% full, but it was, like, the first showing on Mother's Day, so I guess everybody had to go stand in front of a restaurant for 3 hours to eat, get 20 minutes to eat and kicked out.
Yeah. I mean, I believe that. I bet, like, it was kind of like, hey, we're going to, like, fix breakfast for you, and then we're going to leave and get away from you so you could have some alone time. Come on, kids, let's go see Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, I'm going to take the kids to the movie. Yeah, honey, I'm going to take the kids to the movie, the one that they really, really want to see. I mean, I'm just doing it for them and you, honey, so you can have some alone time.
Go to your spa day or whatnot.
Yeah, I was talking to this one lady I work with, and she was like, it's weird that some moms just wanted to spend Mother's Day alone. And it's like, no, that sounds pretty good. Like, if you know, it's like, honey, all I want for Mother's Day is just get the kids the fuck out of here. And you too. You too. Yep. I don't mean get a babysitter. I mean go away.
Exactly.
I'm gonna watch some movies that make me cry, drink some wine, take a bath, maybe flick the bean. But I need peace and quiet. Too far.
Maybe too far.
You just want a picture of your mom or anybody else's mom's flicking the bean? And, oh, I'm sorry. Happy Mother's Day, Sean's mom, because you're probably listening to this, by the way.
she probably mutes you. She doesn't. She says she turns the podcast off when you start getting this way.
So she only listens to the first 30 seconds of today's episode?
Probably. She likes to censor you, from what I'm told.
Yeah, when I was told, she was like, I don't know if I should be listening to your show. There's got some deal with some awkward topics.
Yeah, and she only listens when she drives back to Riverside, so it'll probably be like another 3 or 4 weeks before she yells at me for this comment.
As I was saying that, it dawned on me that she listens to it. Sorry, Sean's mom.
I'm going to get grounded now. Thanks, Danny.
I'm going to take my Nintendos away. I can't play the Pokemon. You suck, jerk. So, Sean, you fly the Delta Airlines.
Every once in a while. I usually like to classy it up and go Spirit because, you know, they're a little bit cheaper. But Delta is a solid choice in your airfare airways.
So apparently, like, their ramp workers and flight attendants have been, like, wanting to unionize for the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And Delta has been releasing different forms of propaganda to get them to not do so.
Yep.
Have you seen the latest form of their propaganda that went internet viral?
No, I did not.
It was a picture of, like, a video game system, and then had written on there, it was like, union dues cost around $700 a year. A new video game system with the latest hits sounds like fun. Put your money towards that instead of paying dues to the union.
Nice.
Yes. You know, apparently, because all that they have working for them are, like, 20-year-olds that, you know, don't want to, like, look to the future.
It's crazy. I mean, I don't know the industry at all. I mean, I get it. They work shit hours. They work, you know, every holiday. You know, I get it. Like, there's a lot of bad stuff going on. I mean, are they like the only one that's not unionized? Like, I don't know even enough about this.
Right. And then other ones they've had, like, because these are like in the company break rooms, these posters. And there's another one that says, you could buy tickets and food to a baseball game for a family, or spend a night out watching football with their buddies instead of paying union dues.
I like how they're really just focusing on the union dues and not, you know, like any of the other benefits that they provide. That
like benefits.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're like also like very sexist about it. You know, because those are traditionally men things, like go hang out with the boys. Saturday is for the boys. You wouldn't have your Saturday night anymore with the union dues.
You only get enough money to, you know, pay your bills. No more going out.
No more going out because the union's going to take it all. Oh, yeah, and don't forget that part where we can't just randomly fire you because we decided to for no reason.
Oh man.
But speaking of video games, man, apparently Prince Harry is mad and he's not going to take it anymore, Sean.
We're not going to take it. No! Fortnite.
He's speaking out against the must-be-loved or maligned Fortnite, depending on your opinion of the game.
I believe it's a very love-hate relationship. There's not a lot of middle ground.
Right. And that's what you want to play the Chinese version where they just blatantly, like, you know, admit that the Fortnite is also a ripoff of Minecraft with first-person shooting. So it's like, I think the game is like Mine Knight or Fortcraft. I think it's Fortcraft is what they call it. It's like a Fortnite ripoff.
I was gonna say, like, is Minecraft has nothing to do with PvP battles.
No, but you do get to build things. So I mean, that's kind of when Fortnite first came out. That's kind of how people described it. It's like Minecraft with shooting.
That's a terrible analogy.
I'm not saying it was a good analogy, and I didn't say I made up that one because I'm not really good at sometimes at those apparently. So, according to him, that Fortnite is addictive, and it says that game shouldn't be allowed. Where is the benefit of having that in your household? It's created to addict, an addiction to keep you in front of your computer for as long as possible. It's so irresponsible. It's like waiting for the damage to be done and kids turning up on your doorstep and families being broken down. He also added that social media was more addictive than alcohol and drugs.
That part's probably true.
Yeah.
That part I agree with.
Instagram and Facebook aren't Fortnite.
True.
And I know there's cases where there are actual, like, divorces because, like, people won't stop playing Fortnite.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. That's with, like, every hobby, though. There's always super extremists that happen. It doesn't matter what hobby it is.
Right. Someone's going to go too far, and it's like you can't ban something because somebody gets addicted to it because there's somebody addicted to everything. I mean, you've seen the show Hoarders. People, like, are they going to stop selling things because people won't get rid of the ones they already have?
Yeah, exactly.
And as far as, like, the kids, like, that's not Prince Harry's job to raise my kids. That's my job to ignore them and let them play Fortnite.
Exactly.
That's the babysitter box.
Well, you know what? Maybe if, kids didn't have to go outside and be supervised 24/7 and, you know, didn't have to worry about getting kidnapped and raped every time they went outside, maybe they could get away from Fortnite.
Well, it's not even that. It's like the same old people that it's like, back in my days, we used to be able to go outside and ride our bikes. Are also the same people. It's like, oh my god, look, there's a kid playing in his backyard without his mom standing next to him. I'm calling CPS. She's being irresponsible.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. Like,
why don't these kids go outside so I can call CPS on them for going outside?
They're making too much noise.
Oh, man. But yeah, so, and then, to make it even better, you know, in Europe, a couple countries have already outlawed the pay-to-win and loot boxes.
Yep.
As gambling. So a senator from Missouri or Montana, whichever one MO is. I think they're both MO.
What's the difference?
Exactly. he's going to try to get a bill put together. They will ban loot boxes and pay-to-win microtransactions in quote-unquote games played by minors.
Hmm.
So isn't that every game? Because even like there's parents that'll like buy their kids, you know, Grand Theft Auto, even though it says don't let kids play this game.
Yeah, it's like NC-17, you know, and they're like, which one do you want, kid? Oh my god, this kid, why is this, why didn't anybody tell me that I shouldn't buy this game for my kid? And you're like looking at the box and you're like, I don't know, it says it right there.
And then they take it back to the store they bought it from and the person that sold it to him was like, I told you this game was inappropriate and you said, fuck you, they're my kids and I'll raise them how I want.
Exactly.
You say, whatever, I'll do what I want.
Pretty much.
And it's funny because the game that he brought up to be like the ultimate evil in his plan is Candy Crush.
Dude, that even got adults in trouble, man. Like, I don't know, like, everybody played Candy Crush. I didn't play it, but...
Right, because he used it as, his words, an egregious example of pay-to-win microtransactions that comes with a $150 quote-unquote luscious bundle that comes with a bunch of crap. And usually, like, I mean, those expensive bundles do come with a lot of crap, but they're also expensive.
Dude, like, mobile games are the worst, man. Like, it's really unfair. It's not even fun to play a mobile game. Like, I mean, you get started, you're like, okay, this is cool. And then it's like, hey, do you want this special item? Like, cough over some money. It's like, all right. Like, you know, at some point, there's like a line where it's like, you know, you get it. Like, you're not paying for a game, and the company needs to make some money because nobody eats for free. I get it. So there's going to be some weird... They're going to get money one way or another, but it's ridiculous, though, like, how bad that it has got, how how much it's changed and just gotten off course with how things are now.
Right, and I know a lot of people, you know, because that's how it gets in trouble, where it's like, hey, do you want this really awesome thing? It's only $5. And they're like, ah, it's only $5. And then a couple days later, or a week later, oh, this new thing is only $5. Oh, it's only $5. And next thing you know, like, you're giving them, like, $50 a month, you know?
Yep. And that's way like, more than a PlayStation game. Or it's getting right. close to it.
And you don't need to buy anything else, necessarily, like, if it's a good game. Because even, like, Overwatch, you know, if you just play a lot, you don't have to buy anything, or you're impatient. Or even Destiny with, like, the loot boxes with the cosmetics. Like, you can play and, like, earn it, but it takes a while. But or you can just be impatient and buy it all now.
Yeah, and the weird thing is Destiny has started getting into special items that could only be purchased and that'll never be in the loot box. So...
Oh, yay. So maybe that'll be outlawed. Maybe that's, you know, it's like when the government talks about making a gun law, like all those guns fly off the shelves because people want to buy them before they're illegal. Or like when the government talks about banning abortions, everyone's just getting knocked up so they can get that last abortion in before they're illegal.
I don't think that analogy is very good either. I think you're 0-2 on analogies today.
my analogy game isn't that strong today.
No. No, not today.
No, sorry, no, Mr. Danny.
You need to go to the corner after the show and think about what you said today.
My jacking corner? Or my crying corner? Because that's the same place.
No wonder you're so excited when you see people cry.
Exactly. this is why I apologize to people for listening to the podcast. Sorry, man. I'm sorry, Sean's mom and man thing and whomever else listens still to this point.
Only 100 episodes of abuse. 101 episodes of abuse.
I would think by now the Stockholm Syndrome would have set in.
It's in too deep.
Phrasing?
Phrasing?
But you brought up Destiny and their fancy new microtransaction, Sean. But apparently they also had a fancy new quest.
Yes, they did. So there was a gaming update on this previous Tuesday, so on the May 7th, and they snuck in a new quest line, Danny, and it was for Outbreak Prime, which is a exotic pulse rifle from Destiny 1. And so basically people were just casually playing the game, doing daily missions, and then they realized something came up, and then basically the Destiny community exploded with, what the hell is this? Like, and then basically in 20 minutes you have to run through killing ads, jumping through a puzzle, and killing a boss and a couple guys at the end, and you get a fancy new pulse rifle. And if you do it on hard mode, then you get the Catalyst, which makes your gun even better. There's also a puzzle that you have to solve that's going on every week. And everybody's thinking if you solve the puzzle for 3 weeks in a row, so the Arc Week, the Void Week, and the Solar Week, that you'll get a special prize. But that's more to come probably next week on that as the next edition, as this is week 2, and on 5/21, the third week will be here, so we'll have an idea of what's going on with that piece. So a lot of people are super hyped for the gun. One of the things that was called out that people don't really know about is that the boss at the end is called the follower of, like, Edison, some kind of weird name that, you know, is made up. And so this is everybody's thinking that in the new expansion pack that comes out in June, because the third DLC comes out, or the next season, that person is going to be some kind of enemy we have to take on. We also got news on Thursday that the new raid that will launch on day one. So normally when we play the raid, it comes out on a Friday. So what they did is the raid will be out on Tuesday afternoon after 6 hours. So basically, you will get 6 hours to level up. So before you jump into the raid, they did lower the light level for the raid though. So right now, light level is 700. The raid, you need to be 715 to have a good shot. So that means you will probably have a pretty good shot of getting close in there. What they really wanted to see is more people playing the raid early on without having to deal with trying to level up. So we'll see how this goes in the long run. This is another one of Bungie's tests that they're doing. And I think I definitely give it up to Bungie for trying new things to better enhance the community. Because I think Bungie understands they don't want the game to be like hard for people to do content because they don't have time to play it. Because, you know, if you got to grind, you got to take the week off and grind, you know, just play 24/7, you know, try to get certain drops to happen so that way you're good. So it really looks like they're trying different things to make the game more enjoyable, and this is one of the changes that they really want to try.
Right. You want to make the game enjoyable without making it too easy. You don't want to go full Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, and they don't want people like not being able to do new content because they're underleveled either.
Right. You know, because you don't, you know, on Final Fantasy 14, when they have like the new extreme raids and stuff, you know, people are world firsting them like that afternoon, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
And then multiple people will beat it relatively soon after. So,
mm-hmm.
You don't want to get, I guess, not that I can do it. I'm not one of those people. I'm just saying that, you know, enough people, the higher level people, are making it look easy.
Yeah, exactly. Like some of the, there's a couple big YouTubers that are popular on the Reddit community, and these guys are like, they're like, in this mode, you'll never be able to solo it, and they go through, and they just right. solo the content, and you're just like, yeah, F this guy. And they're usually the guys that are, you know, are beating the content first. Like, people literally will watch these people like come up with strategies to playing the raids because they typically find the best strategies to do it. So, you know, it's pretty cool though. I'm pretty excited. I conveniently didn't know it, but I took that week off of work. So I'm pretty excited to hopefully jump into that raid Tuesday night and maybe even beat it within the first 48 hours. Hopefully.
Nice.
No promises.
No promises made, no promises kept, huh?
Exactly. I heard you were saying that you were playing a new game that I was pretty... I was interested in, and I was kind of waiting for some news, so how about it?
Yeah, I've been playing Days Gone. It's basically a zombie motorcycle-y game. Like, you're a dude that's was part of a motorcycle gang pre-zombie invasion. It kind of starts off similar to The Last of Us, where... You know, your group gets separated, and then time goes forward, and so now it's just you and, like, your buddy that you bike with
mm-hmm.
trying to go around, and then you decide to have the plan of going up north. So, you know, you're doing a run, and your bike, something happens to your bike, and you pull it off kind of to the side of the road, and you cover it with leaves,
yep.
and then you jump on the back of the other dude's bike. And as you're pulling away, and I'm like, that doesn't seem covered enough. Like, I'm already, like, suspicious of, like, the shittiness of this plot a little bit. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I already know that what's going to happen. And so, sure enough, you go and do a mission, and you come back, and, of course, the bike's gone.
Oh, and son of a bitch. Don't you hate that?
Right. Yes. And so, now you can't immediately go up north. And so, other shit goes awry, and so now that's why you're stuck in this area doing quests. And it's very open world. There's as you're riding around, little blue question marks will appear that are like events or something.
Yeah.
But by the time I get to them, they're gone.
Okay.
They move, so I don't know like if that's a thing. I know it got a lot of negative reviews from the press because apparently the review copy, for whatever reason, was the pre-update bug fix edition.
Gotcha.
And so, I mean, it's buggy. I'm not going to say it's not. I mean, there was one point where I was driving and it looked like riding my bike and it looked like I was going to have to ride through a snowdrift.
Yeah.
But it was just something weird, like with the texture and the load screen or whatever, like the background.
Yeah, that's pretty funny because I think somebody posted on r/gaming a video clip where he was just like driving and then like all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, he just got surrounded by zombies and he ended up getting like murdered. Like it was really like he had it in the driving view and there was nothing there and somehow it just like.
Oh yeah.
They just like came out of nowhere. Like they didn't pop up fast enough, so he drove like right into him. That's what it looks like from a coding standpoint on what happened.
Yeah, like they didn't render fast enough.
Yeah. So he
and like I know there's. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say because he couldn't dodge. Like he didn't dodge at all. He just was driving, and then all of a sudden he was surrounded. Like they just popped up all around the bike and pulled him off and killed him.
Right, and I was like doing one mission, and I ended up at the top of this like lookout tower, and as I was like climbing down, all of a sudden this horde came out of nowhere, and they knew exactly where I was. They all started climbing up the tower.
Oh
and,
boy!
You know, like in movies, like there's two different kinds of zombies normally, right? There's like the fast zombies, and then there's like ones where they just like they're slow but they overpower you.
Yeah.
This one has taken like both of those concepts. So the zombies fucking suck. Like if you get surrounded, you're pretty much going to die. And if you get hit, like it knocks you off your balance. So if you can't shoot kind of a thing and it takes a big chunk of your health.
Yeah.
And then like, as you're riding along, there's these like wolves that are in the game and you can hunt them and like gather their meat.
Oh, and, they're right. Right. They're like zombie wolves or regular wolves?
Regular wolves.
Okay. Gotcha.
But they'll fuck your shit up. Like they'll chase after you. Like you're on the motorcycle going full speed and they'll catch up to you and just jump at you and like, take you off your bike and like almost all your health will be gone.
Wow, that's pretty like, intense.
It is, dude. It's and like when I was playing yesterday and I was driving through and all of a sudden I see the beam from a sniper rifle on me.
Oh jeez.
And as I was running from wolves and I'm like, this is gonna suck. And sure enough, he hit me and knocked me off my bike. And it knocked my bike down to like 3% health, you know, because you can gather scrap throughout the world and different health items and ammo. And I'm hoping like I'm not gonna run out of shit because I have a feeling that like I might be burning through some other things.
Yeah.
But I can't tell if I'm using them wisely or not, you know, because you can use the scrap to repair your weapons as well.
Yeah.
But like so I had to deal with like the sniper. I had to deal with like his ambush people that came at me with like guns and melee weapons, and then I had to deal with like two wolves.
Oh wow.
And so luckily like one of the wolves decided to be nice for a minute and take out a few of the ambushers.
That always helps.
So but I'll give them credit here that a lot of games when you're driving you're safe, right?
Yeah.
This game, you're not, man. And that's the thing it's like, it both like and hate about the game is it's scary to be driving around the world because you never know, like, something like that where you're just driving along and all of a sudden there's a sniper there and you're, like, out in the middle of nothing and you're just hope you can outrun him.
Yeah.
I'm not very far in. It's definitely a lot of stuff, a lot of quests. There's, like, missions to go clear out ambush camps. There's missions to clear out the nests where the zombies are so that you can fast travel.
Yeah.
Your bike uses gas, and if you like ride like an asshole and crash into things, it'll brake faster, but there's definitely damage done to the bike.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like there's a price to pay for also riding. And if you're low on gas, you can't fast travel. If there's enemies, of course, nearby, you can't fast travel. Like you have to have enough gas to get to that location if you're going to ride there.
Oh, wow. So if you don't have enough gas, then you can't even, it won't allow you to fast travel there.
No.
That's interesting. That's pretty cool. It makes sense.
Right. Yes, it's pretty cool. Like, Like, because if not, then you would never need gas and you just fast travel everywhere, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
But it seems like all the gas containers that I found have unlimited fuel in them.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's, like, a bug or a feature.
Yeah, to try try to make the game more playable versus realistic. Because, you have to have that balance. Like, if you have a randomizer for gas, like, and you never find gas, then you're going to be running everywhere, and it's going to put you at a huge disadvantage for the game, and I don't think that's the intent of the game.
Right. I mean, they push it as being a motorcycle riding game, so if you can't ride your motorcycle because you don't have gas, then that's going to, you know, make a lot of people hate the game almost more than Anthem.
fair enough.
But I definitely, like, if you're looking for something to play, I would definitely pick it up, because it's a good mix of, like, Last of Us, almost Uncharted in a way, with, like, the action-adventure of it. Actually, it's more like The Last of Us meets, like, Red Dead Redemption.
Gotcha.
I would say.
Okay.
But instead of it's a steel horse you ride, as Bon Jovi says.
Fair enough, man. Sounds like a good time.
Right. So I'm sure, you know, I'll get shit on and the game people will come out and say the game sucks, because I thought Anthem was fun too. So maybe you shouldn't listen to me.
You're going to be the new Gecko on gaming reviews.
Yes. But I also didn't make it to the end game of Anthem, and flying around and shooting shit with lightning bolts is a lot of fun. If you don't care about, like, raids and high level gear.
Pretty much. Alright, everybody, that's it for today's show. Thank you guys for listening to another great episode. Make sure you follow us on Podbean, iTunes, Instagram, Facebook, and Stitcher, of all places.
Right. Now we just need to get on like iHeartRadio or whatever, and we can have even more options to be ignored.
Pretty much. I just don't think they want to get back to me. They're, like, ignoring me.
Yeah, come back to us when you can bump up into the next group of listeners.
Exactly. All right, everybody. You guys have a great week, and we will see you next time.
Next time, everybody.